Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
You won't believe your ears. A death-defying act of courage, night after night, fun for all ages. That would be the Steph Curry show, but is it going to end up with a piece of metal? Not a team award, an individual award. Welcome in the beginning of another edition of the Ben Maller Show. Here we are back together again. We are in the air everywhere as we get on our soapbox coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR emanating live deep inside the Magic Radio Box, the Fox Sports Radio studios. Hope all is well with you, and we have 4 hours of marginal sports talk radio. Chances are you will not be listening to all 4 hours, but if you miss something and you think it might be good and maybe you wish you had listened to it, you can go back and hear the podcast. But our lead story, I want to get into something we mentioned in a previous episode that continues to percolate in the sporting world. It comes from Pro Bouncy Ball and Steph Curry's magic carpet ride through the NBA in the month of April. He has been splashing nets across the association for several weeks now. The other night, we discussed Curry's performance in Philly. He had 49 points, 10 three balls in a win, an upset win against the Sixers. Now, we discussed the fact that Ben Simmons missed that game. Some believe he had the Steph Curry flu. That was the reason, but Curry getting accolades all over the place. Why not? He continues to play breathtaking basketball. And was it 11 straight games I read with 30-plus points that broke Kobe Bryant's record for a player 33 years or older? I love how it's 33 years or older. Because you got to have a record-breaking stat for everything. So if you don't have a record-breaking stat, you just throw in a bunch of variables until you get the record-breaking stat. Makes sense if you work in that business. Now, he also broke Curry, Kobe Bryant, and Michael Jordan's record for the most 40-point games in a calendar month. The month of April has been very kind. We have five, by the way. And Curry is averaging a very gaudy 40.7 points per game. He's shooting 55% from the floor, but the amazing statistic: on the money ball, Curry is shooting 50%. One out of every two he makes from three-point range, 91% from the charity stripe. Those are all wonderful statistics. You're never supposed to give too many of those out on the radio because you're doing other stuff. You're not paying attention to everything I'm saying. But you were likely aware of a lot of that, maybe not all of it. But do you know, as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story? Well, there is a growing drumbeat to hand Steph Curry the MVP. Now, we dismissed this out of hand after the game against the Sixers, but I want to circle back to this now and discuss the question: what are the odds that Steph Curry is getting a lot of support from the media, climbs the mountain to take NBA MVP honors here in 2021? Now, I'm going to set the line on this at plus 750. Now, plus 750 is not zero. If you're not a gambler or you're bad at math, that implies around a 12% chance that Curry will win the award. I think I'm going high on that. My thoughts on this: you've got grassroots, marathon, and myth busters. And we will tie all of these things together and we'll put them into a pot and we'll cook them for about 10 minutes and see what we've got. Now, Steph Curry, who has been a powerhouse for Golden State, as we have laid out, we don't need to lick the toes anymore, but night after night, he has been superhuman. And he reminds me, people are saying, well, who does he remind you of? Curry reminds me of me playing pickup basketball back in the day. They called me Moneyball Maller. And Steph Curry, the master of the money ball. But I growing up on the hardscrabble streets of Orange County, my name is in the ring of honor at Orchard Park because of the money ball. But I digress. All of this has led to a grassroots movement. And that's what this really is, because the MVP race has all but been decided, but there's a grassroots movement to say, hey, wait a minute, time out on the court. Let's give the MVP to Steph Curry. Even though Curry has been out of this world, it's not going to end up in an MVP. Campaigning aside, the Warriors simply aren't good enough. We're talking about a pedestrian basketball team. They're treading water in the kiddie pool of the NBA. And if you look at the criteria, and that's important when you're deciding an MVP, or as I vote, the most prestigious award in sports, I vote for the John R. Wooden Award. But you look at the criteria of what goes into winning an award like that. The criteria for the MVP, it's different. Generally speaking, though, team success plays a big part in this. And Golden State, at the time we are having this conversation, I am talking to you, and you might be talking back, but I can't hear you. At the time we were having this conversation, the Warriors are not even a playoff team, not a legitimate playoff team. They have illegitimate and legitimate playoff teams. The Warriors are an illegitimate playoff team. They would have to earn their way into this Fugazi play-in tournament that the NBA added for increased revenue. Now, part B of this, considering the fact that I keep getting sent stories, propaganda from our listeners in the Bay Area about Steph Curry, this, that, and the other thing. I'm going to put my foot down. I will be the grown-up. I'll be the adult and just say it. Steph Curry, again, not winning the MVP. I don't care how many positive Steph Curry videos you send me or stories that were penned by bleeding heart bloggers of basketball. He's not winning the MVP award in 2021. Sorry, not sorry, right? As a rule of thumb, we mentioned the criteria. The team success is part of it, but the MVP goes to the player who has almost everything leaning their direction, right? All the planets align, as our friend Andrea would point out, the sports sorceress, in terms of health, team quality, which is wins and losses, and individual performance. And the player that has stood out, that is clearly the MVP, is Nikola Jokic. It's his to lose, and there is a massive gap. He could lay down and take a nap for about an hour during the season, and it wouldn't matter, right? That's how big. Imagine, if you will, a world where it's the Battle of Marathon, which led us to what is now known as the Marathon. If only the Battle of Marathon had been, I don't know, 4 miles, but it was 26.1 miles. Everyone knows that story. But the old-fashioned road race, 26.1 miles. Imagine, if you will, Jokic is at the 25-mile marker. He's getting one of those little paper cups with water at the 25-mile marker. Now, Curry, he's in the marathon, but he's back at the 5-mile marker. He's at that checkpoint. And without the fanfare, the Joker has been putting up his own historic numbers. He's been doing it all season. Jokic, if you look at his plus-minus, which is a stat that I actually bring up a lot. I think it's important. It's a newer stat, relatively new in the NBA. But plus minus, Jokic is having the sixth best season in NBA history. All time. All the greats. And Jokic is sixth in plus minus. He's one of seven players in the professional history of basketball who has averaged 20 points per game, 10 rebounds, and shot 40% or better from three-point range. He's doing all of that this season. And so that resume is a landslide victory for Jokic. And it is going to infuriate the NBA media cartel. I'm telling you right now, as a distant relative of Nostradamus and occasional friend of Nostradinus, he lives in Seattle, be prepared for the backlash. Be prepared for the blowback, because the Curry fans are not going to handle this. Jokic is sequestered. He's off the grid in Colorado. The Nuggets don't have the sex appeal. And Curry is worshipped, right, on a higher profile team in a big market. And they've still got that aura. Granted, it's been several years since they were great, but the aura of what they used to be, the Golden State Warriors. All right, last word here. So Now, Steph Curry is not winning the MVP, but he's going to accomplish something that is actually more important in his career than the MVP, right? This is a reboot. It's a reboot of Mythbusters, the show on Discovery, Mythbusters, because Curry is channeling, Adam Savage and Jamie Heineman, right? Those were the two guys, I think. There were other people on that. Those are the ones I remember.
Never heard of them.
There was the one with the hat and then the other guy. I think Jamie Heineman was the guy with the hat, and then Adam Savage was the other guy. And then they had a woman on there and some other people. But Mythbusters. Yeah, and that mindset. But what is the myth-busting process here for Steph Curry? He is proving once and for all that he is not a system player, right? That had been one of the knocks on Curry, that he had been an imposter, that Curry was a phony, he was a fraud, that the success he had, he was surrounded by great players, and so his weaknesses were masked. And if you're a good shooter, you can knock down wide-open shots. And, well, Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant are not walking through that door. Durant's never walking through that door again unless it's out of the visiting locker room, and Klay Thompson's been fragile and broken for 2 years in a row. So Curry is surrounded by what? If you look at the Warriors, saw him play the other night in Philly. They won that game. But Curry is surrounded by a bunch of ham and eggers on the Golden State roster. He is a saint among thieves because many of those players are stealing money with the Warriors because they're not earning it. And there's nowhere to hide is what I'm trying to say. And Steph Curry is the central focus. If you prepare at all as an NBA player, and there's debate whether that actually happens during the regular season, it's only in the playoffs where they actually prepare for the opposition. But assuming you believe that they do, the myth that there is preparation for the opponent, the central focus is going to be Curry if you're the opposing team, and he's getting double-teamed all the time. He's validation for his status that he's not just a spot-up three-point shooter that, you know, when everyone around him is great, he's great. And so what's the end game? Now, he breaks the myth. MVP, no. He could finish third. At most, if he continues this the rest of the season, second in the MVP race. But Jokic, and that's assuming Jokic doesn't get hurt or Jokic, the Joker falls apart. But Curry's certainly, he's already ahead of LeBron because LeBron's gone. See you later. He's out. Harden's hurt now. He's out. And even Joel Embiid, who's had a good year and a very good year statistically for the Sixers, I could see Curry passing him by, but not Jokic. Sorry, that's not going
to
happen.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. No, I'm not going. I don't even like your sport anymore. Welcome in. It's the beginning of another hour of the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere as we babble coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from inside the theater of the mind. The Fox Sports Radio studios. Good to have you along this hour of marginal sports talk radio. And I wanted to talk some baseball. I like baseball. I'm not the guy not watching baseball, but our lead does come from the big leagues. The old guard is not happy. The latest person to speak up is Gary Sheffield. He is fed up with the sport that made him a gazillionaire. I don't know if you heard this, maybe not. Gary Sheffield recently revealing that he doesn't even watch baseball anymore because he's, quote, disappointed in how the game has evolved. Sheffield saying that the only time he watched baseball was when he was, quote, forced to do so because he had a TV job at TBS. But even then, and this is the big revelation, Sheffield admitted that while he was a baseball analyst, a studio analyst, he never watched the games during the season. He says he would get educated on it when he got to the TV studio, but he didn't actually watch the games. Now, Sheffield, a prodigious steroid-era slugger. And I was around him when he played for the Dodgers. He argued that the game has changed. It's become more hitter-friendly, he said. And then he went on a rant, did the old guy get off my lawn rant. He said, these guys can go out there and they can strike out 180, 190 times, and it's okay. And then all of a sudden, they show a home run, and now a home run is less appealing when a home run was a big deal and was more appealing when I played, because it wasn't happening as often as it is now, close quote. Now, Sheffield is standing in line with other notable Major League Baseball players who have recently tuned out the sport. About 10 days ago or so, David Wells, Boomer Wells, longtime pitcher, blasting baseball's decision to get political over moving the All-Star game out of Atlanta to Denver in protest of the election reform bill in Georgia. Wells saying at that time he has stopped watching games as well. So let us discuss the question, how concerned should Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, the guardian of the game, how concerned should he be that these former stars of not that long ago, we're not talking about 1970s and 80s guys, these guys played in the 2000s. So how concerned should Rob Manfred be that these former stars are divorcing themselves from baseball? So on the patented Maller scale of concern, 1 to 10, with 10 being your house is on fire, this is a 7. I'm at a 7. I can't go much higher than that. I'm at a solid 7. Now, my observation, you've got the pimple, M&Ms, and Winnie the Pooh. We'll lock all of these things together in a calculated Maller monologue. Now, number one. So Gary Sheffield and David Wells are baseball lifers. And just to prove that point, why you should take what they say more seriously than others, resumes provide credibility. These guys each toiled in the big leagues with multiple teams over 20-plus seasons. We're not talking about a cameo in the big leagues. Gary Sheffield, I believe, is in the top 30. I think last I checked, he's 26th all-time in home runs. And I looked up David Wells when this story came out with him. David Wells is in the top 60 all-time in wins. Did you know that? David Wells. He's in the top 60 all-time in wins. Not exactly bit players. Now, despite that, my instincts tell me that Gary Sheffield and David Wells, while it is a 7, it should be a 7, they will be ignored. Right? Baseball, they'll put the blinders up, they'll put the lampshade over their head, and they will trivialize these guys as just bitter ex-players. Right? These guys can't play anymore, so who cares? And it's that trope. And it is true that a lot of the old players complain about the players that follow them. It's been true my entire life. But in this case, there's something to it. Sheffield and Wells, I don't think it's out of sorts what they said. They approached it differently, but the end result is, hey, I ain't watching. But they will be treated like a pimple on your nose. All right, you get a pimple on your nose, you're not going to call Dr. Pimple Popper. Baseball's not going to do that. You're going to use a few drops of lemon juice to make the pimple go away. And both of them made great points, though. Sheffield pointing out the sport has been, you know, my words, not his, degraded by the focus. It's a swing and miss beer league softball thing. Keep in mind, though, that started while Sheffield was still playing. This is not a new phenomenon. That began near the end of Sheffield's career. And David Wells upset with the fact that baseball has touched the third rail, my man, by getting political. And there was a study done last week that indicated the fallout on that is legitimate, that baseball didn't gain any fans by moving the All-Star game out of Atlanta. They lost fans, but they didn't gain any Democratic fans. They lost a bunch of Republican fans. And I guess they got some woke points. I guess. I don't know what that... Is that like Bitcoin woke points? Where can you spend woke points? I don't know. Anyway, the second thing here, Rob Manfred, who I like this story. And the reason I wanted to talk about this with you is because he's the villain. And I like any story that paints Rob Manfred with that brush as a villain. David Wells, in fact, singled the commissioner out by name in his recent rant. Wells is saying that he had a lot of dealings with Rob Manfred back in his playing days, and he, quote, never liked the guy. Well, you don't say. David Wells is a member. He's not a charter member, but he is a member of the fastest-growing club in sports, MMNMs. Not M&M, MMNMs. Now, what is MMNMs? You know what it is? That's Manfred Moron Movement, right? The movement that points out that Rob Manfred's a moron. The guy's a tool bag, right? In fact, that it's actually an insult to tool bags to call him a tool bag. Manfred is, as we pointed out for years here behind these microphones, is your typical pencil-pushing, empty suit, spineless commissioner, corporate overlord, and Manfred's, you know, he's a Harvard-educated labor lawyer who got hired at baseball as and worked his way up. As he started out as a labor lawyer, got hired at baseball, and just never left. And it's the Peter principle, where you reach your highest level of incompetence and you stay there. Right now, it would be a commissioner. He was the lead investigator for baseball. And have you ever heard anyone? Serious question. Have you ever heard anyone come out to champion for Rob Manfred? Of course, that's not a serious question. It's a rhetorical question. The answer is no. Manfred is the prime minister of the baseball underworld, is what he is, even though he's on the face of it. Now, final point. I mean, this began with a rant about Gary Sheffield and his complaints about the way baseball is being played. And Rob Manfred is using minor league baseball as a testing ground. It's like Frankenstein's laboratory to try to adjust and tweak the game. There is no great sense of urgency, though. And that's the thing, right? I mean, some of the changes are absurd. Every time I watch an extra inning game where the runner, the ghost runner, starts out at second base, I'm like, holy crap, how dumb is this? And it's been around since last year, and every time I see it, I think, oh my God, this is embarrassing. This is humiliating. Rob Manfred is using what I learned this when I was a kid. It's the Winnie the Pooh model of leadership, right? He's acting like a river. Now, if you remember Winnie the Pooh, or maybe you're still watching Winnie the Pooh, there was a great quote there that rivers know this. There is no hurry, right? You've heard this quote. There is no hurry. We shall get there someday. That's baseball's mantra. It's like, yeah, there's problems. We'll eventually fix it. We'll put a blue ribbon panel together, this, that, and the other thing. Good luck. Good luck. It is highly unlikely that the people that have been watching baseball, the same decision makers, are going to make a different decision to fix the game because they're the ones that were involved in the game when it went this direction. As Albert Einstein said, no problem can be solved from the same level of consciousness that created it. And this problem began under Rob Manfred's watch, and he's still the, you know, now he's got more power than when this happened. All right, now meanwhile, Gary Sheffield, rather nonchalantly revealing the intrinsic truth here, and it's stunning. I mean, the Sheffield thing that really stood out to me. We have another former player who admitted he didn't watch the game, and he was a broadcaster. You're never supposed to say this publicly. You talk about breaking the fourth wall, that imaginary wall that separates the sportscaster from the audience, and you know, this is the age-old battle they have. Athletes bring credibility. There's a lot of low-information fans that if an athlete said it, they've got more credibility, and they flock to these broadcasts. And often what happens, and Sheffield pretty much admitted it, he implied that he would get to the TV studio and essentially be a parrot. Whatever the producer told him to say, he would get on camera and repeat it. That's what it sounded like to me. And somewhere in a graveyard in New York, Howard Cosell is rolling over the old school sportscaster in his grave about the jockocracy of it all. So good luck. Good luck on Sheffield getting TV work again. I'm pretty sure he doesn't need the money because he was well compensated from the Marlins, Dodgers, Yankees, and all the other teams that he played for bouncing around the big leagues.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
It's pointing Maller out.
How about that?
Radio.
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
All right, here we go. Coop de Loop.
Ben, during yesterday's show, you mentioned that you were a believer in Joe Burrow. Well, the new Chargers head coach, whose name escapes me now, said that the Chargers players are believers in their rookie of the year, Justin Herbert. Now, Ben, if you're redrafting, are you still taking Burrow over Herbert?
Well, cool. Bad job. Yes, Brandon Staley, former Ram defensive coordinator. But no, I am taking Burrow still. I'm not here to rip apart Justin Herbert. He had a fine rookie season, but Joe Burrow's my guy. He was a sorcerer on the field in Cincinnati, and he's more my flavor as the quarterback. Burrow showing his guts playing behind that turnstile offensive line. He played very well against the Browns, who were a good team last year. I'm excited to see what Joe Burrow can do coming back for the Bengals. All right, next!
Now, the other day you said you agreed with Luka Doncic about the play-in tournament being ridiculous. Well, both Stan Van Gundy and Tom Thibodeau came out in defense of it. And it seems that opinion is pretty split in the NBA. Do you think it's going to be here to stay?
Yes, because there's money to be made. The zeitgeist of the times here, it's not going anywhere. It's a stupid concept, though. It's double jeopardy. You already have a play-in tournament. Hello, it's the regular season. It's a very long play-in tournament, but instead you're going to have this fugazi play-in thing. It's so dumb. But they'll make money on it, so it'll stick around. It won't go anywhere. Next!
So it was reported on Monday that Vanessa Bryant is not planning on renewing Kobe's Nike contract. Now, there were some rumors that Kobe was planning on starting his own shoe company before his death, and maybe Vanessa is still planning on doing that. Ben, do you think a Kobe brand can make it in the ultra-competitive shoe market?
All right, so I hope it can. I always pull for the underdog. I pulled for LeVar Ball, but it's got no chance. Nike controls over 80%. Of that market. I think it's even higher than that. They're the Yeti of the shoe universe. And Kobe's got a lot of fans and people will buy his shoes, but you're competing with a monster. No. All right, how do we do, Coop?
You pass this edition.
There it is. That's a winner. Put it on the board. Whee!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Attention, everyone.
And the password is...
Password. You idiot.
Password, the word game of the stars. Here's Ben Maller.
And away we go. It's Password, the word game of the stars. As we are here. We don't do shout-outs, Eddie, so I will not do a shout-out to Big Lou, but that was pretty cool. I had a radio nerd moment. Did you see what Big Lou sent out?
No.
No, Big Lou's flying somewhere. He's on a plane, and they have a satellite radio on there, and my name is on the back of the plane. That's pretty cool. Fox Sports Radio right there. He's listening live while he travels. That's pretty cool.
Very nice.
I haven't flown since 2019. When's the last time you flew, Eddie?
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. Coop flew, though, Miami. Anyway, all right, enough small talk. Nobody cares about me nerding out, having a radio nerd moment. Thank you, Big Lou.
47 past the hour.
That's right, 47 past the hour. That's going to become a new thing on the show. 47 past the hour. Let's welcome in our contestants. Well, let this guy play. Why not? I'm in a good mood. He's been on hold for 3 hours. Rebel in San Antonio. Hello, Rebel.
Good day, Dan. How you doing?
Yeah. So Rebel, do you think this is going to be worth it or not worth it?
Well, since me and Eddie beat you in Militia a few years ago, I'm pretty good.
Oh, boy.
All right. Please pick Eddie again. And you will be playing against Phylexis, America's favorite drag queen caller. Hello, Phylexis.
Hello, Ben. I guess I'm stuck with you. I guess if I want to win,
no.
I guess...
Now, are we going to... Now, Phylexis.
We're going to kick those F's and dances.
Do not sandbag. Now, Phylexis, we sometimes get goofy drag queen Phylexis. I need professional caller Phylexis,
you
the drag
got
queen.
It, honey. I got my high heels on, my fishnet stuck in, my leather miniskirt. I'm ready to go.
All right. Phylexis is near Buffalo there.
Topless.
America's favorite drag queen caller. Part of Bill's Mafia.
Eddie, really?
Huh?
What?
All right, that's the match. I think Phalexis picked me. Eddie, we have a list of words. Eddie is with Rebel. So we have a list of words, 1 to 10, and we start out with 10 points, and we go down to 9, 8, 7, 6. We normally throw it out around that point. So, Rebel, pick a number, please.
5.
All right, number 5. Eddie, this should be easy. That's a layup right there.
I hope so. Yeah. Rebel, the clue is sweets. Sweets. Are you there?
Did he die?
No. Hold on.
So tired. He's been on hold.
Are you busy?
He's got to Google the answer.
Come back to you later?
Hold on.
No. No.
Hold on.
All right. Phalexis,
not even a guess. Good God.
Not even a guess. All right. Eddie said sweets. How about I'll use the Mahler maneuver. Cotton.
Candy.
Yeah, good job, Phalexis.
Woo! It was my clue, Phalexis.
No, cotton, candy. Come on, there's nothing else that comes after cotton other than
cotton
candy.
Balls. Right.
No. Phalexis, we're already up 9-0. This is a blowout. We should just end the game right now, but we'll run up the score. Pick a number 1 to 10, but not number 5.
It's not
well, I am number 1.
Number one. All right, here we go. Let's go with, it's a little harder. How about disconnect? What?
Just say, disconnect. Apart.
All right, go ahead, Eddie. Hurry up.
All right, so Ben said disconnect, and Phalexis guessed apart. My clue will be divide.
Apart.
What?
Apart.
He just said apart. He just said apart.
That is tremendous.
Now, Rebel, let me ask you a question.
No, that's a great clue.
Let me ask him
a
question.
That is a great clue.
Now, if Phalexis said apart and that was the wrong answer, why would you then answer the same answer?
No, because Phalexis...
I'm asking a question to Rebel, please.
Yeah, I'm just getting frustrated.
Rebel, you have an answer for that?
Yeah. Eddie, the guy was on hold for 3 hours to play with you.
Easy on him, Eddie.
My partner, that's disrespect.
Come on, Eddie, he wants to play with you, man.
All right, let's go with... How about, I'll just use this, divorce.
What?
No,
what did he say?
He said split.
Both of your phones are terrible, by the way.
Yeah, divorce split up, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's better than apart, you know, after somebody else said apart.
Go ahead, Eddie.
Separate.
You're doing so well.
Separate. Yeah. Separate.
He got it.
All right.
Without a clue.
My clue, Eddie.
It was tough love that got it going.
On my clue.
That's point for us.
That's point for us.
7 points.
At least we're not shut out.
7 points.
You're still losing, Rebel. You're losing.
Pick another.
You're losing.
Pick another.
No, me and Eddie are winning. God.
No, you're losing.
Pick another number, not one.
Oh, God.
Shut up.
Pick another number, not one or five.
Basic math.
Pick another number, not one or five.
Hooked on math. Not hooked on phonics. Hooked on math. I'm going to get this guy.
9.
Okay.
Oh, go ahead.
Stop yelling.
I'll do what I want to do. Okay.
Let's see. The clue is advance.
Go.
No.
All right.
Let's see here. How about we go with... Boy, there's not a lot on this one.
Nope.
The cupboards are bare. How about upgrade?
Credit.
What'd he say?
What?
Credit.
Credit?
My credit cards. Credit.
Are you on a tin can with string? Is that what you're calling on? Okay. And no, that's incorrect. Go ahead, Eddie.
I don't know. Bonus?
What's the word?
Oh, come on.
I said bonus. This word sucks.
Bad word. Never use this word again, Coop. All right. No, he doesn't have it. Let's go with, how about raise? No? Ah, it doesn't matter. Hi. We're out of time. It was a defensive struggle. Phylexis, you get a golden ticket. You get a golden ticket. Eddie. You're a loser, Eddie. You've just lost Password, the word game of stars. Congratulations. That's another win for Maller.
I've beaten you more.
It was promote, by the way.
The all-time win. The word was promote. That was the word. I won the game. I'm back on top of Maller's Password.